And next Sunday evening, Lord willing, we would like to evaluate and mention some of the benefits of having a strong faith. We spend so much of our time trying to achieve this, but what is the value of it? What do we get? What are the rewards of having a strong faith? Probably we could list several more benefits than what we're going to talk about this evening, but there are eight that encompass quite a bit. We'd like to begin with the first one, and that is the blessings of a strong faith include peace, joy, and hope. Now, we just read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Because of our trust, we have a peace with God. Our sins have been removed by... Oh, and let me back up there. Jeff comes up with these pictures, and you know how rumors can get started. I just wanted to let everyone know that is not me jumping from the one side to the other. It's not that funny. Anyway, Tyler, it might be him, but it's not me. Anyway, because of our trust in God, we have peace. That's a result of the faith that we have. Our sins have been removed by the blood of Jesus. Fellowship has been restored with God that we had lost because of sin. And we know that we are acceptable to Him now that sins have been removed, and that brings about peace. Peace with God. Whether we live or die, we belong to Him, Romans 14 and verse 8. And so we can be at peace because life is so uncertain. We don't anticipate dying in the next 5 minutes or maybe even in the next 5 days or 5 years. But we don't know because life is so uncertain. But we can still have peace because whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Knowing that, we have obeyed the gospel and are striving to please Him, not only grants us peace, but it also makes us joyous. We rejoice in what we have and in what we expect to have. As Paul put it in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Furthermore, we have hope even in the face of tribulation, which produces perseverance and character and hope, again from Romans 5:1-4. Don't you just love to read what Peter says about hope? I know this is one passage I can never get tired of. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we've been begotten to a living hope, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Just each one of these phrases has so much meaning. It's not an inheritance like on earth where thieves may break in and steal, or may corrupt, tarnish, and just decay. No, this is an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. It doesn't fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. There's a reservation there in your name because we have a living hope. We don't hope in somebody who died and has been buried and is still in the tomb. We believe and have hope in one who has died and been buried and been raised up from the dead. That's our living hope. But there's more, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And so God is working in our behalf providentially to make sure that we do not miss this great blessing based on our great hope. A strong faith then causes us to enjoy the blessings of peace and joy and hope. But let's go to the second one we want to discuss this evening, and that is the defeat of Satan. When Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, we note that he overcame him through the word of God. When the devil said, "Turn these stones to bread and satisfy unlawfully a legitimate appetite of the flesh," Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus knew the word of God and refuted it. When Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world, Jesus said again in answer to a temptation of Satan, "You shall worship only the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." When Satan took him to the highest point of the temple, he wrote, "You shall not tempt," he said in response, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." And so every temptation that Satan put at him, Jesus had a response from the word. In fact, all three of his responses came from the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus knew the law, and he must have taken to heart what the psalmist said in 119 and verse 11, when he said, "Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee." So this is the blessing of a strong faith being able to overcome Satan. The word in the Lord's heart was accompanied by his strong faith. Likewise, we too have been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. Jesus used it as both an offensive and defensive weapon. He defended himself with the word of God from Satan's temptations, but he also attacked with the word of God. As you read through Matthew chapter 21 through 23, as Jesus is facing his enemies, he both answers them and he asks questions based on the word of God that they cannot answer. Remember, he gave the parable in Matthew 21:33 of the landowner who planted a vineyard and the people rejected whom he sent. And then when he got through with that, he said, because they had beaten one and they killed the son of the vineyard owner. So they said, when Jesus asked him, "What will he do with those vine dressers?" They said, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render him the fruits in their seasons." Then Jesus asked them this, "Did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And then he told them, "This will happen just as he has explained it in the parable." Then they perceived he was talking about them. And of course, they wanted to kill him. But he used an illustration and a scripture to go on the attack to get them to see how hypocritical they were being. In Matthew chapter 22, he defeated the Sadducees who came to him about the woman having been married to seven brothers and told them that they were mistaken, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. And then he asked later on in that chapter, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said to him, "The son of David." "Well, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord? If he's his son, how does he call him Lord? Saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to give him an answer. So he used the word of God to defend the truth with the Sadducees who didn't believe in a resurrection or angels. And then he went on the attack by asking him a question, just as he did in the previous chapter. In chapter 23, Jesus denounces them. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And he does this several times in the course of the chapter. So Jesus knew the word of God, and he was able to use it to defend the truth, to fight against temptation, but also to go on the attack and show them where they were wrong in their thinking, in their theology, in the way that they were living. But just as his faith enabled him to use the word properly, so does ours. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. We already mentioned verse 17, where the soldier of Christ is bid to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But what's the preceding verse say? "Above all, taking the shield of" what? "Faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." It is our faith working in conjunction with the word of God that enables us to overcome the devil, sin, and temptation. So our faith allows us to do that. John uses the designation "the world" to describe various temptations in the world. All that the ones, in fact, that Jesus faced: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But notice that he says that overcoming it is one of the benefits of our faith in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, "For whatever is born of God," and that would be all Christians. If we're not born of God, we're not a Christian. If we're a Christian, we've been born of God. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So it is our faith plus the world, overcome the world. It is our faith plus the word of God. Our faith not only brings us peace and joy and hope, but it enables us to overcome the world, defeat sin and temptation. Well, the third thing we want to look at is that our faith, the advantage of a strong faith, helps us to overcome adversity. We mentioned Jerry and Fern Hill Wednesday night in overcoming the loss of their 13-year-old son many, many years ago, and how they were able to accomplish that. It is only faith that keeps us going through such a trial, such a time of adversity. Years ago, Brother Gus Nichols, a giant in the faith, suffered some strokes when he was in his 80s. and it prevented him from being able to write with his right hand. However, he did not give up just because he was experiencing some adversity. He asked someone to come in and teach him how to write left-handed. Can you imagine in your 80s saying, I want to learn how to write left-handed? You might want to start now so that you're prepared if that ever happens to you. But he was, because of his faith, willing to overcome adversity. Job faced more adversity in a short period of time than most people will ever have in a lifetime. He lost all of his wealth in one day. He lost all 10 of his children. He just didn't lose one. He lost all 10 in one day. And then after that, his health began to deteriorate so that he was absolutely miserable day and night. However, his faith was the blessing that got him through. He said, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. His faith brought him through until God returned many more blessings. He took away the suffering eventually and returned the other blessings, including having 10 more children and having double the amount of possessions that he had previously. It must have been tempting to quit. In fact, his wife was willing to quit for him. She's the one who said, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? But his strong, mature faith helped him overcome this severe adversity that he faced in his life. And that's one of the blessings of faith that will help us facing things that are going to be adverse in our lives. The fourth one that we want to look at this evening is the power to live daily. We oftentimes think of major adversities or major persecutions, such as what Job experienced, the adversity at least. Sometimes daily living can be a trial, just the ordinary things that you go through. It involves avoiding potholes, or maybe hitting some of them. Jesus spoke to these matters. Let's look at what he had to say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Therefore, and this is, of course, is the conclusion of all of the teaching previously that he had offered in connection with not worrying. He says in verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. What is the Lord saying there except to trust in God's providence, which agrees, of course, with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that's what the Lord is confirming in Matthew 6:34. Trust him. This is something not only that we are commanded to do, but it comes with a great benefit to see us through all of the things that daily would annoy us, distract us, or whatever it is that we face. When things are not going so well, remember what God promised. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. the second part of verse 15. Hebrews 13, the last part of verse 15. Therefore, let us continually offer him the sacrifice, read the whole verse, of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. So we are to give thanks even though we face situations, even though we face difficult times. Even on a daily basis, there can things build up in even just one day's time, but a measure of faith will see us through that particular bad thing. And we should be giving thanks to God for his care, his love, all that he does for us, his providence. Notice how Paul so often faced daily detours from what his plans were. But overall, those things did not really get in the way. If something got in the way, it gave him another opportunity, and Paul would write, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4 and verse 13. Our faith in God and passages like these are what keep us in the way where God wants us to be. And so we might periodically ask ourselves, what is our faith moving us to do? Is it moving us to endure these things? Is it moving us to endure these trials? Is it motivating us to do better? What are we doing because of the faith that we have that we wouldn't be doing otherwise? That's a good question to think about. So as we think about the blessings of a strong faith, we find that it gives us peace and joy and hope. If we truly believe the gospel and obey the gospel out of a pure heart and a desire to have our sins cleansed, then we know that we have peace. We know that we have joy. And we know that we have a living hope and a reservation in heaven. We know that we are able to defeat Satan. Jesus our Lord did, and he used his faith and the word of God to be able to accomplish that. Because of our faith, we can use the word of God to overcome Satan also. We overcome adversity. And there are going to be times where there are some really tall mountains that we're going to have to get around or through or climb over. They're just going to be there. It may not be every week. It may not be every year. It may only be a few times in a lifetime. But a strong faith will help us overcome those, whatever they might be. And then we have the power to live daily for God. We must develop a strong faith. We must continue to work on that. We need to work on maturing ourselves. But as we do that, let's not forget all the benefits that we get as a result of doing that. And there are four more that you will recognize because there are some excellent Old and New Testament examples of those that we're going to, Lord willing, look at next Sunday evening. But for now, if you do not have love and joy and peace and hope, then you may have never obeyed the gospel, because that's what brings certainty to all of us. And when we say certainty, we know that the word of God says it and we do it. I know that sounds easy. I know that sounds simple. But if we listen to the sum of the truth of the word of God, then we know we have to hear the word, believe the word, and obey the word, which involves repenting of our sins, confessing the name of Jesus our Lord, as the Son of God before men, and then being baptized into Christ, wash away our sins. When we do that, we know that we have obeyed exactly what the Bible has said. And that's why we can have a mature faith, why we can grow our faith and be able to have peace and joy and hope. If your hope is not what you wish it would be tonight, then why not do something about it? Why not obey the gospel if you've studied and know what you need to do? Or if you have and you're still a little uncertain, you might ask yourself, why is that? Why do I feel uncertain? And maybe there are some answers to that that we can look at. Whatever your desire this evening, please let us know what it is and how we can serve you while we stand and while we sing.